What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Cinema
like
Kings.
Another
episode of Cinema Kings.
Inside joke, guys.
It's the podcast where we share our super heroic thoughts on zombies, dragons, and everything fictionally awesome. I'm Lenny. I'm here with my friends.
Corey.
And Reese.
Wakanda forever!
I was thinking for a second there, you weren't going to say it.
All the time, baby.
I don't know what I was thinking. Well, you know.
Rest in peace, T'Challa.
That's foul. You didn't forget. Too soon, man.
Up until May 2nd of 2019, it will be too soon.
Yeah. Well, you know, it comes out in August 8th, I think, on DVD. So.
August 14th.
14th, sorry.
I already took the day off.
Wow.
I already took the day off.
All right, well, we're going to do a lot of stuff today. We're going to talk about trailers. We're going to talk about news. We're going to talk about reviews. We're going to talk about segments we'll do, you know, our usual. You know how we do it here. So let's get right into it, guys. We got some trailers to drop this week. First, we'll start with Christopher Robin. What do you think? I feel like we did this movie already or something.
I know, right? Yeah, yeah. It sounds so
familiar. Winnie the Pooh, man. Yeah. He's on screen and he's like real life and shit.
I mean, yet again. And once again. Not once again. Yeah. Sorry. So
we'll be doing that a lot.
So there was a movie, obviously the anime movie came out like 4 years ago or something like that, and I have no idea how well it did, to be honest with you. I never saw the movie. And there was one that snuck out last year, because I remember it was supposed to be like in the middle of summer, then it got pushed back, and then it kind of got hid in like select theaters. But that one was also about, more so about the creator of Winnie the Pooh than about Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
It was kind of like Finding Neverland, how it was, you know, the author and the relationship with his son and, why it came out. I don't know if it was for Disney. I just know it was Domhnall Gleeson and Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie, yeah.
That's all I got. But, I was never the biggest Winnie the Pooh guy. I know them.
Winnie the
Pooh. I just know the characters.
Yeah, Winnie I know them. I know the song. And you know what's funny? The only reason I really know the song in the video is because I used to watch those Disney sing-alongs ad nauseam. And the one that I had the Winnie the Pooh song on it.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, you know, when Jiminy Cricket's just going around, you know. And so,
I gotcha.
It looks fun. My favorite thing is how accurate the voices seem to be. I just don't know if it's something that's ever going to get me...
Your interest level is low, very low. Yeah, I understand. But I like Ewan McGregor. I used to watch these type of cartoons when I was really young. I mean, I kind of was old when the Tigger movie came out, and that was like 2001. So we won't get into that. But yeah, I don't know. I'll watch it, definitely. Why not? Winnie the Pooh in a live action movie.
I forgot about the Tigger movie.
The Tigger movie, dude. Yeah. Come on. Everybody remembers that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, Mark Forster. He's done Finding Neverland. He's done some.
Like we said, you can't actually dislike Winnie the Pooh.
Unless you're Hitler.
You have no soul. That's the only way you dislike Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, so Winnie the Pooh's got a live action movie. I'm sure you'll get stuck in a tree trying to get some honey. Let's get into the next one. It was...
Do you think it will do better than Paddington has done? Because Paddington has done extremely well.
And they got a sequel, Paddington. Yeah,
Paddington has done extremely well. And I remember Paddington 2, I think it will. People thought it was going to be nominated for Golden Globe for comedy.
It definitely will. Are you kidding me? Yeah. You guys might not like him that much. White folk love him.
Yeah.
And that's where the money is.
So. Yeah. So, come on, Winnie the Pooh, man. Yeah. Definitely. It's like, to me, it's like doing a Care Bears live action movie. It would do the same thing. But yeah, I don't know. I still think I'll watch it when it comes out.
Right. Of course you will. You have a Winnie the Pooh tattoo.
Yeah, on my ass. I got Tigger on my ass. So, our next trailer is Life Itself, which is This Is Us as a movie, pretty much, which it looks like, because it's the creator of This Is Us, and it's the director of Crazy Stupid Love. And it kind of looks like that. It looks like Crazy Stupid Love, but without the levity and more serious, drama.
Yeah. It looks multi-generational, you know, basically how This Is Us is. I'm actually looking to know right now to see if they're playing the same character, because I feel as though Antonio Banderas is playing Oscar Isaac later in their life, but I'm about to find out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, they're not giving title names on IMDb. Character names.
See?
They are tricky.
Just have to wait.
Yeah, so, have to wait and see that. But it looks like a tearjerker. Grandma would go see this movie and be like, oh, that was such a wonderful film.
Yeah, it looks good.
It looks good, though.
Sad, that's all.
Yeah, it looks sad. Yeah, I think it's one of those movies that people will be talking about, though, because This Is Us got a hot buzz around it right now. And you know, with that.
Only reason I might go see is because of Oscar Isaac. I also adore Olivia Cooke, but
Olivia Wilde.
No, Olivia
Cooke. Olivia Cooke is, yeah, I'm sorry. She is also in it. You're right.
She's on Meet Her on the Dying Girl, and I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah. She was in Ready Player One as well. Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. But she is good.
Once again, I mean, this, you know, looks kind of interesting, but looks kind of depressing.
Yeah, so definitely.
Definitely depressing. Looks good, but looks depressing.
Like I said, I think it'll be one of those movies that are talked about, like, you know what I mean? Just because it has, like, family message and stuff like that. You know,
because people suck.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Go see Life Itself when it comes out in September. Next trailer we got is Goosebumps 2.
Boo.
We don't have Jack Black in this. No. You couldn't even get Jack Black to do a sequel. But it, I don't know. It's the, what's his name? The kid from It is playing in Goosebumps 2.
Yeah.
I liked him in...
He played Ben.
He played the fat kid.
Wow.
Air quotes.
Disrespectful. It's 2018.
Come on, man. Did you...
2018. They're called Big Boned.
Well, in the book, they call him fat a lot. In the movie, they did, too, so...
That was 2017.
Yeah, we're in a new era now. All right. Well, yeah, Goosebumps 2 looks like a family kids movie. More R.L. Stine monsters, more...
Yeah, I mean... I would have preferred for it to be PG-13 so we can get a little bit more. I don't know.
Scary.
It looks like it's geared toward, yeah, right. It looks like it's geared toward kids. So it's just, I mean, it is what it is for them.
It is what it is.
It looks, what's the word? Stupid. looks pretty stupid.
I'm sure some kids will like it.
Some kids will like it, maybe.
All right, next trailer. Moving on.
Kids who have no friends.
Moving on to our next trailer. Netflix original movie, Extinction. Michael Peña.
Won't be better than Annihilation.
Oh, a lot of people don't like Annihilation.
A lot of people don't like you.
It's true.
Extinction will not be better than Annihilation. I know some people were like, Annihilation is okay. I haven't seen it yet, but... this movie just doesn't look,
He said it's not better than Annihilation, but you've never seen Annihilation.
Correct. That is...
That's a crazy leap of faith.
Is it, though? Because
Alex Garland...
No, I'm sure it was probably a very good movie, but...
Not his best, though. For Alex Garland, Annihilation was not as good as you thought it was going to be. Extinction, not that this looks better, because, like I said, Netflix is pumping out sci-fi like crazy, dude. Yeah. So... It could be just another one of their efforts.
I don't know. Look, Netflix makes great TV shows. Their movies leave a lot to be desired so far.
Some are good. Some are not. A lot of their documentaries are good, but
do those really count? Are those really movies? I'm kidding.
It's messed up.
I'm kidding. Documentaries are all right.
Anyway,
I don't know.
Extinction.
It's the weird thing. I mean, in my opinion, I think. And the weirder thing is that Netflix doesn't always actually create their films. You know, it's not like TV where they actually produce everything.
No, they get movies, people come to them with their product and say, put this on.
So it's one of those, it's like, I think they're trying too hard right now to expand with the films. And I think they're just buying up a lot of properties. And, you know, this one, it has a few headliners that are interesting, but... Look, I mean, like you said, the trailer doesn't show you anything that looks different from anything you've ever seen before. You barely see the alien design. It didn't give you much to really look forward to.
No. Mean, and they've done that with other trailers, too. I don't know. I think they're pumping out so much sci-fi right now and everything that, like I agree. I just don't think it, like, the, you know, whole... space thriller has been done so many times now, you know? It's hard to really grab an audience. But I don't know. They've just been pumping out a lot of sci-fi lately. I just still think you got to do something different to really get... You need a good performance. You need a good gimmick or I don't know, alien design, whatever it is, something that grabs the audience and really... Or have a great story, something.
I will also say this will not be better than Battle Los Angeles.
Wow. Battle Los Angeles is underrated. I think it's good.
It's an underrated film. It's good action movie. I enjoy that movie. This will not be better than Battle Los Angeles.
A lot of bold statements, man.
That's what I do, man. That's exactly what I do. I live life on the edge.
It raises a lot of questions, though, too. All right, on to news. Let's get to news. The biggest news I think a lot of people are going to be talking about is my boy, Wafo, Joaquin Phoenix, playing the Joker. Oh, you just eye-rolled this? Oh, yes. My God.
No,
Phoenix can play.
Corey's upset at something? No way.
I eye-rolled the fact that you called him Wafo.
Wafo.
That is what I will do.
Okay, you don't have to adopt it. It's mine. It's because I personally know him. That's how much I love him.
He and Lenny once shared a spa together.
Exactly.
Well, goodness.
If you saw his performance in Reservation Road, I gave him some tips. It was cool.
You know, I haven't seen that. That was the first movie I ever bought.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it. To this day, I still have never watched that movie.
I bought a movie, the first one I ever bought.
Did you not? I still, no, that's not true. That's new. I've seen it. That's the one where he hits the girl. Yeah, he hits the girl.
No, Ruffalo.
Ruffalo hits the girl. All right, I'm bugging. I've seen that movie.
Okay.
I'm
bugging. Anyway, that's not a true story. Anyway, that's ventured off for no reason. But yeah, I don't know. These guys don't like it. I don't know who's attached to direct or who's doing anything, but I know that Joaquin Phoenix is playing the Joker.
No, I think it's, I mean, at this point, I mean, I think DC is just doing whatever. So, I mean, I'm not upset at them for making a standalone Joker film. I mean, I think everybody loves
it. I remember
Joker.
When Heath Ledger was cast.
How can you violently protest Venom because there's no Spider-Man, but can be completely okay with a Joker film without Batman?
Whoa, who said that? I thought this was standalone from the DC Extended Universe. I didn't know Batman wasn't in it. He's not in it?
I have no intel that Batman's going to be in this.
No. Batman.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. I have no intel that Batman's going to be in this film.
Just like you said, I keep that same energy.
Yeah, you better.
Okay? All right. I will be very upset if they do that. But yeah, I thought it was just a standalone story, but Batman was still there.
Yeah, it's his origin story as far as I know.
Yeah, like Killing Joke. It's like, if they were doing something like that, okay, cool. But you know what? Dang, because then they got to cast another Batman. Yeah.
Killing Joke's rated R, though, man. They'd have to do a rated R.
Specifically about Batman.
What's that?
No, I mean, they
can't do Killing Joke without Batman.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if they were going to do, I thought it was going to be a story like that. So, but, oh, man.
I'd love to see him do Killing Joke.
Now, you got me kind of concerned now. I really hope he's in it.
But I think Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. I like it. I do.
I don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah,
why? You don't see him as it?
Not really.
What? Out of everything he's done?
To be fair, I think that he could play a crazy, deranged lunatic. I don't. Steve made a point at one time about Jared Leto's Joker, that Jared Leto more physically fits the look of Joker. There can't be two people that are more, well, I mean, there can be if you talk about Vincent D'Onofrio and Elijah Wood. But, I mean, like, Joaquin Phoenix shares no physical characteristics other than having something between his legs swinging back and forth with Jared Leto. Like, they don't look anything alike.
Yeah, but have you seen, like, you know, he's done some menacing roles.
No, without a doubt. I think, look, does he have the skill and mental psyche to play Joker? Yeah. He's one of the greatest living actors, and he's a bit of a nut job.
Yeah.
But.
Which I think is good.
He doesn't look like the Joker.
No, I see what you're saying. But did you picture Heath Ledger as the Joker when he got cast?
I didn't watch.
And that was 2008, and I remember thinking, like,
I didn't know comics before.
I did. No way did I picture Heath Ledger as the Joker. I'm sorry. I did not. I remember thinking, I love Batman Begins. I loved what Nolan did with taking it in a new direction. Building Batman from like the ground up again, starting a whole new franchise. I was so excited for Dark Knight. And I remember when I seen the poster and it said Heath Ledger, I was like, and killed it. So right. I don't know. I think Joaquin Phoenix, I'm not saying it'll be his best thing ever, but I don't know. At least they're not casting like, you know, a fucking, it's, I don't even know where to go with this. Mm-hmm. Like an up and coming young actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, it is what it is. I mean,
I'm curious to see.
Chances are I'm going to go see it. But
yeah, for sure. Definitely.
We'll see.
Definitely. We'll see. I think Joaquin Phoenix doesn't have a lot of roles where he's asked to be like crazy, smiling ear to ear, looking kind of like that. But I guarantee you, when you see a picture of him finally on set and he has the scowl, I think everybody's going to be like, damn.
I feel as though he should be more like. I think that he would be better as more of a Heath Ledger Joker than a Jared Leto Joker. I feel as though he needs to be a little bit more grounded. He needs to be a little less Jared Leto Joker.
Flamboyant.
yeah, a little less flamboyant. Yeah.
I think I will. I think it's going to be more. Like, I think it all depends on who's attached to direct and like the direction they're trying to go. Is it going to be darker? Is it going to be a lighter Joker? Well,
like you say, the first poster. Yeah, if the first poster looks more like the Venom poster, and it looks dark and murky, and it looks like it's going to happen in the back corner of an alley. I feel as though that's going to be the better Joker than if he's in a nightclub, you know, praying the Prince of Clowns or whatever, you know, the Clown Prince. I feel as though it'd be a better movie that way. But like you said, well, I guess we'll have to find out when we hear a director in a story.
Yeah, I guess we'll see, man. But yeah, I'm not hating it. Wafo, my boy, he's on fire right now.
Yeah, stop calling him that.
All right, next news. Already there, you know, so everybody's sure if you're following national news at all, you've heard this week that the kids stuck in the cave got rescued. All of them have been saved, and there are plans for two movies already about these. Two of them.
I think
one is like a straight to Sci-Fi Channel movie, and the other is like,
if you're going to tell me one is documentary, fine.
They did a Chilean Miners one.
Way too soon for
they did a Chilean Miners one like.
They did, and I own that.
A year and a half after.
Was it that soon?
Maybe not. Maybe two years.
For which one?
The Chilean Miners.
The ones that were trapped underneath.
Banderas was in that. And
Garcia Bernal. I have it.
Who was the other guy that played Xerxes? And he was on Lost. He was in that too. I can't remember his name now. But two movies about that. I think
we talked about this when 15 to 17 Paris came out. It's way too soon.
It does happen quick.
You know, because it's time to.
Well, they're begging for
and to be okay. You know what I mean?
It's one of those.
They're begging for material still.
In my opinion, if everybody came out okay, and for those who are questioning, all the kids and the coach were made it out, but there's one sealed diver who passed away. Because he ran out of oxygen. You know, so it's one of those, because there was a tragedy, because there was a death, you got to give these people some time to get over this. All right, you know, like Sully. Nobody died during that incident on the Hudson, so, like, I get it, you know. Yeah, some people may be traumatized, but, like...
So what do you think about, like, World Trade Center then and United 93?
I think they waited, 10 years?
No, there were a couple that were, like...
Oh, there were a couple.
I think World Trade Center was, like, 2007?
Yeah, there were a couple that were pretty soon.
And then,
I'm thinking of the one with Nicolas Cage...
That's World Trade Center.
I don't know how long it was.
You might be right. It might be like 2009, 10, something like that. But I thought it was sooner. I think United 93 was too. But
they seem like after that, now they're like.
It's way sooner than that, when it's another different type of
You're
right,
of,
dude. Like they're already announcing. They just got rescued, Friday or something?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Like there was a guy with a movie
World
contract.
World Trade Center was released in 2006. So five years after.
Oh, really? Dang, why? I thought it was longer than that.
As they pulled the last kid out, there's like a movie producer with a contract. Sign here.
That's
crazy.
Get a little bit of time.
Hey, right? Wait till the bodies warm up at least.
Yeah, too soon. Don't like it. I hope I have the courage to not go see it.
Next news we're going to talk about is the promotional photo that dropped for Shazam. Did you see that?
Nope.
No?
Nope, don't want to.
It's the kid.
You don't
want
to see it?
They're standing outside a convenience store.
Hey.
It's the young boy drinking the drink.
Soda?
Well, and then Shazam soda. Right next to him drinking the drink.
Hey. Well, see, that's not how Shazam works, though.
I know, but
okay.
It's metaphorical. Or something like that. But seriously, you know.
Does it look any different from the one that leaked from the set?
No, it's the same costume that he's wearing.
I don't care, though.
But the concept, I think, is cool. I liked it.
Seems a little more done.
Look, I have fully adopted the boycott press for superhero movies philosophy. I don't want to hear information before the movies are released. I will watch one trailer and that is it. I don't want to see.
It's crazy that you live. We live in the information age now. Imagine if you grew up in 1970 and you heard about The Godfather coming out and you're like, I would love to see some set photos or some news about this. Unless fucking you watch Entertainment Tonight or some shit, you would have not gotten anything. Now it's at your fingertips and you're being like, fuck that. I don't want to know anything, man.
Yes, 100%.
I don't even want to know fucking Shazam poops.
Nope.
All right, I'm just...
That'd be weird, because it'd be a pretty magical poop.
Anyway, if you haven't
seen the
photo...
He has the endurance of Atlas, I imagine he can hold it for a while.
Probably.
Do you think... Warning, this is a sidebar. If Shazam had to poop when he's in Shazam form, and he switched back to Billy Batson, do you think that poop shrinks down?
Yes, of course. It adapts to his digestive system.
Interesting.
Well, it... I mean, did it already leave him? Or is it like
still... No, still inside.
Still
inside.
Oh, yeah, it probably would adjust then.
Hmm, interesting.
Like, yeah, it would have to adjust.
Because then he probably think about it,
while he's shrinking, the turd's not going to shrink, and it would just be, like, lodged up inside him as a big-ass turd. Funny. Yeah, definitely.
Pretty foul.
I'm just saying, he has to poop before he changes back. That's all.
He has terrible time and deserves to die at that point, okay? If he knew he was about to change.
I have nothing to segue from a poop story into our next...
Look, like I said, truth be told, I love Shazam. He's one of my favorite superheroes, and I'm super excited for this movie.
He's a way cooler character than the general public gives him credit.
Yeah, and I hope they make it silly, but I hope they make it kind of like Ant-Man. But I just don't
I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit like that. I don't know. I have a feeling this is going
to... It still hurts that Black Adam's not going to be in the movie, so I'm still trying to get over that.
Well, they're probably saving that.
No, I don't care, though. I want...
Who knows where they're going? They hinted at it in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, so you don't know.
Wait, what?
She calls him Adam at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm talking about Black Adam, bro.
Black Adam, I'm sorry.
Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock, yeah. I'm way off.
Other favorite character.
Yeah, this is another good one.
I mean, I'm still going to go see it first day.
It's still going to be awesome, dude. Yeah. It's still going to be awesome to see a Shazam movie. Even if it's not good, I'm happy that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we got for news, so let's move on to reviews. Should we talk about...
Wow, one person hasn't seen Ant-Man.
Nah, man, it is what it is. All right, things happen, okay?
All right, so Ant-Man.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, not just Ant-Man.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah. I will say, the villain sucked. The villain was absolutely terrible. She's gorgeous. Love her. And I finally found out, I think I found out which character she plays in Game of Thrones. It took me forever to track it down.
She's a whore, isn't she, in one of them?
Wow. Rude.
What else would you call the prostitute in medieval times? I'm sorry.
I believe they were called wenches back then.
Okay. Well, if she was a whore wench, how's that?
I believe she was one of the ladies in the Dothraki camp when Daenerys was taken prisoner before she burst out.
Second time.
Yeah, before she burst
second
out.
Second time she
fire.
Was Dothraki. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Anyway, the villain was absolutely wretched. She was cool. One... She has an interesting backstory, and she has... All right, here's my issue with the movie. How do I say this without blowing this? All right, so there's an incident in her past where her parents die and she doesn't. I hope that doesn't give too much away. But nevertheless, she has a line that says... she says, yo, when I woke, you know, my parents were dead. I wasn't so lucky. Amazing line. Punch me in the face. That was an amazing line. However, her motivation for the rest of the movie, you know, after the government, you know, rescued her and made her into a lethal assassin against her will was, and now, so the point of the movie is that she's dying and she needs to find a way to save her life. She's going to fade into nothingness, into the quantum zone, and she doesn't want to die. My thing is, if you had such a terrible life, why don't you want to die?
Yeah, you were saying that you should have died earlier.
You should have. Right? Yeah, if you wanted to die, you just die. Like, now you're making other people's lives difficult.
I think that's...
Because you're sending a mixed message.
Yeah, but I think she was building up there's a relationship they tried building up with
Bill
Foster, and that didn't really feel that good either.
It didn't. It really didn't, you know?
So they missed on some things, but I think the action...
The action was fine.
I think
I enjoyed
the story
the action.
I think those two on screen were great.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Evangeline Lilly and Paul Rudd.
Yep.
I think Michael Douglas had a bigger part in this, which I loved.
I love the fact
great.
That they vilified him because Hank Pym is a douche.
Yeah, and they made him so much better. He had some great funny lines in it. He had some great heartfelt lines in it. The Michael Pena crew, that all stuff. They used some of the formula they used in the first one, in the second one.
The
just
flashback
updated.
Scene was hilarious.
It was good, though. Yeah, that's what I mean. So, other than Ghost
Did you know Walter Goggins was going to be in this movie?
I did, yeah. I
had no idea.
In the first trailer, they show him looking up from the car when he's man
had no idea.
Pedaling the tow truck.
I had no
but,
idea.
Still
funny. I thought it was
still
funny.
I think you're right. I think they fell short a little bit on the villain.
Yeah.
Ghost story and Bill Foster. But I loved Michelle Pfeiffer for some reason. Like, when she came on screen as Janet Van Dyne, I just saw it, dude. I was like, yeah.
For all of 7 minutes?
Yeah. But I saw it. You know what I mean? I felt like she could definitely be Janet Van Dyne.
So, I'm just gonna say this. I believe we've seen the last of Hank Pym. Just saying. I believe.
Shh. No spoilers there.
I don't think because of the way that he was treated in this movie, I don't think we're going to see him again.
I don't know. But I still think
I wouldn't mind.
There's a lot of the story was them chasing the lab will yeah. say. But I still think out of 5 crowns, I would still give it 3.5. I thought it was fun. Like I said, the on-screen chemistry with those two was worth it alone. They were great together. And Pim and her and Janet Van Dyne. And, like, that whole family, those four, were really good on screen together. Really good.
So here's my thing.
I still think it was a fun Marvel movie. Had some great effects. Had some really cool stuff. Some funny lines. Paul Rudd developed more as a character. You know. Oh, they all did. And it was good. They took them in a good direction. Other than the villain, which my biggest gripe would be, I still say 3.5 crowns.
After we've seen Black Panther and Infinity War this year, Marvel had really stepped up their villain game. And they took a major step back. Even with Hela, they took a major step back with this one. So I will say the weird thing to me was... And the weird thing about the villain is because Ghost is not typically a villain of Ant-Man. She's usually a villain of Iron Man. And the fact that they brought her into this storyline, and the fact that I don't mind the fact that they made her a girl. I just thought they gave her a weak backstory because technically, I guess, in the comics, it's an Asian gentleman.
Yeah.
And they don't really know who it is. But I just thought that the villain had no real drive. I thought it was a muddled backstory. I did like that they vilified Hank Pym. I did like the action. I did still like the humor. So, but the villain just hurt so bad. I will, because of the villain and because of the ending, I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
Still fun. Still enjoyed it.
Still worth seeing.
Still a good sequel. Yeah,
still worth seeing.
Yeah, so there's that.
Okay. Well, man, next we got to review. We said on our last podcast we're going to review Westworld Season 2.
Oh, go for it.
And then next week we'll do some Luke Cage for y'all, which we promised on last week's podcast.
We're going to unplug for Westworld.
All right, guys, this Westworld season
didn't
2.
Westworld? No, I didn't finish Westworld. Hey, you didn't see Ant-Man.
Yeah, I had like 4 days. All right. You had like all right, 2 months.
What episode are you on? Right.
Mine is a much longer time commitment than yours is.
Oh, please.
What episode are you on?
And you had more time to commit to.
Two?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Look, man, the World Cup was going on.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Did you not?
The World Cup was going on.
Don't blame the World Cup.
I've been watching the same World Cup as you, buddy.
World Series of Poker is on tonight.
I ain't watching that. But still. All right. Well, anyway, season two, we have to talk about it because we said we were going to last week.
Don't spoil anything.
Oh, my God. So hard then. Are you kidding me? All right. So let's just say 4 things you got to know about this. Mixed timelines.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Vague process of letting you know what's going on. Let's see. Twists and turns, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Big twists and turns. But then very just like kind of at least the first season kind of unfurled like this mystery kind of. You know what I mean? Like towards the end of the first season, like you were kind of able to guess and say what's going to happen. This season wasn't really like that. It was very opaque and kind of jumped around. Like and made you kind of figure stuff out for yourself. And it wasn't until the very end is where like they bring it together. You know? But and you kinda didn't see it coming, you know?
Oh no.
Was this a better surprise than Jeffrey Wright?
Bigger surprise, definitely. There's like 3 big surprises in this season.
Yeah.
There's like 3 big surprises.
And I think it's I think it's 2 post-credit scenes too.
Was that
I think it was 1. No,
maybe I'm kidding.
No, there's
Saturday. Maybe I'll give it a watch. So was this season better than the first season?
So far, yeah. All right, so it's better. The story's better. Obviously, they introduced a new world, a couple new worlds in this one, too. The Japan one, and there's this other
Native American
one, Native American, whatever.
Those are like probably my 2 favorite episodes.
Yeah, those are really cool. Those are cool episodes. Riko Kikuchi, there's a bunch of Chinese Japanese actors in that.
That based off of the first season, Westworld is the number 4 show out right now for me.
Okay.
With that being said,
think about it. You still got Hopkins and Jeffrey Wright who are killing it and killed it this year, I thought. Hopkins, Anthony Wright, Jeffrey Wright, as Bernard. He plays Bernard. He's great this year, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He has a huge part of this story. Huge part.
Definitely.
Obviously, Dolores still. But shit goes down, dude. Shit goes down.
The way her character is now?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know, dude. She does an amazing job. If I showed you a picture of her, you'd be like, that's Dolores? Nah, you wouldn't even know, dude. You wouldn't even know. It's crazy. But I love that Harrison this season, the Man in Black and William, both were good. You'll see what happens with them, too.
Maeve? Is that how you say it?
Maeve?
Yeah. I thought, oh, man.
Everybody had some wicked shit that happened to him, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Without giving too much away. But like I said, it is very.
I hate you.
Like, as reveals happen, dude, like, you're like, oh, shit, dude. Like, you don't know what's going on for a good portion of up until five, episode five, when you're finally like starting to put your own theories together.
Right.
And then they get debunked.
Is the mystery better kept than Game of Thrones?
Yes, I thought so. I thought so. I didn't get any spoilers, dude. I did not get any spoilers.
I did not see that one coming.
No, I did not see the end. The
went up for the Nolan brothers.
The finale was insane, dude. It was. Yeah. It was one of the best episodes of on TV this year, definitely.
So where do you place Westworld right now after season two?
On what I watched this year?
Best shows out right now. Where would you put Westworld on your list?
It probably jumped Legion for me. Which I love Legion. I fucking love Legion.
I
think
I watched
like
two more episodes.
Oh my god, I love Legion so much, dude. The colors and the stuff that he's doing is nothing on TV. Yeah. Dude, mutants, like you think of X-Men and all these mutants, dude, it's nothing like you'll ever see, ever think would happen. I love Legion. But I still think Westworld Season 2 trumped it for me. What Nolan's doing, dude.
I would agree with
that. He's killing the game, dude. Not to mention the cinematography and shit that went down. There were some incredible shots.
So after two seasons, you have Westworld and you have Stranger Things.
GOT is still better, though, than Westworld. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is still better.
No, Game of Thrones is
number one right now. It's still number one right now for me.
After two seasons, Westworld, Stranger Things.
I would still say Westworld because of production, because of better acting. I'm sorry. Like, let's be real here, dude. Like, it's kids versus Anthony Hopkins.
That is tough.
No, dude, Westworld's like so good.
I really like both those shows.
Yeah, no, it is tough, dude. Stranger Things is like a good jolt for...
It's just so different. Such an original story.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I don't care what that guy says. That is an original story.
No, it's so cool. It's so cool.
I mean...
They're probably hand in hand for me. I would say like 3A, 3B.
Wait, what's 2?
I don't know. I was thinking...
I'd probably... See, I was going to say it's kind of cheating because, I mean, it's easier to follow Stranger Things than this. But I think I still will give Westworld over Stranger Things. It's tough, man.
It's tough.
It really hurts to say that. Like, it really does. Like,
season 2 was really good, though. Once you get deep into it, dude, you're going to like it a lot. And once you see the reveals.
Better than Atlanta?
Nah,
I know they're different. So I know they're different.
You can't compare. Oh,
because Atlanta is number. I'd probably say Atlanta's number. This last season, I'd probably say number 3 on my list.
Really?
There's a lot of good TV shows out right now. It's tough to say, man.
Yeah, as of right now for me, because I haven't seen season 2, it's obviously Game of Thrones, you know.
Yeah, of course.
We're still riding the back of a year ago, though.
Then Atlanta, and then Westworld for me right now. And then probably Black Mirror right after that.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, I'm big Thrones, Legion, Westworld. Westworld season 2, like I said, man, had a lot more... epic shots because it's world expanded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I like the fact that they did that. Like the way it's shot, the story, the acting, it's like everything. It just comes together on that.
Exactly.
Shot.
Like, really and like shot. I said,
that's why I had to put it that high up. Like it's so hard to pick. Yeah.
And it is confusing. This season was frustrating that's the thing. At times. Like there seriously was episode 5 where I'm like, what the fuck is going on at this point? You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Is this happening then? Is this happening somewhere else? That kind of shit where you're questioning yourself. And then when the story comes together and everything, and you find out what's going on with Bernard, and you find out what's going on with Dolores, you find out what's going on with the Man in Black and William, it's fucking awesome.
Right.
it's like a mic drop in the middle of the season, dude, or like a beat drop, and it's like the rest of the fucking season. You're just like, all right.
Even the action. Like
yeah, man, exactly.
It's crazy,
dude. There's a shootout in the first fucking 10 minutes of the episode. Well, yeah,
but there's no Demogorgon.
Nah, and there's not cute little kids either. You know what I mean?
All right, cool.
Yeah, Westworld season 2. I'd stay at 1 out of 5 crowns. Now, out of 5 crowns, I would say 4.
That's what I say. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think easily I'll go 4 too.
How can you give such a great review and not say 4.5 or 5?
I was just about to say.
What is a 5?
I was about to say I would probably even go 4.5.
The only reason I want to say 5 because, like I said, there it did take time for the story to come together. Like
that's
really
my only
the process was vague too, dude. Like where they're just giving you shit where you're like, that's not going to come into play at all. Like, you're just fucking with us at this point, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were scenes like that. You know what I mean? So it kind of got you frustrated and had some confusion to it. But as it came together, and like I said, and looking back on it, as like reflecting on the entire season, you're like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. That's cool. That's why episode two was cool, because once they revealed this in season or the finale, you're like, all right, that's why he was fucking doing this. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why he was doing this. But yeah, it was cool. When it came together, it was cool.
All right, check it out. HBO.
HBO. All right, so guys, we're going to get into our segments. Or no, yeah, let's do segments. Let's do segments. We're going to do, we'll start with
movie quotes.
Movie quotes. All right, so favorite iconic movie lines. So when I'm saying favorite iconic movie lines, it can't be your favorite movie line. You can't just say something from Tommy Boy and be like, that's my, it has to be your favorite iconic movie lines. For example, if you love Jaws, one of your favorite iconic movie lines is going to be, we're going to need a bigger boat. If you love Alien, one of your favorite comic, or your, one of your favorite quotes might be, game over, man, game over. You know, iconic movie lines.
I'll start with one. And a lot of this is just based on, it's one of the highest grossing movies of all time. I'm the king of the world. There are certain lines that are said by people who've never seen the movie. There are certain lines that are said by everybody who does a specific action. Every time some corny old white dude gets on a boat and he runs to the front, he just says, I'm the king of the world. You know?
Someone in real life?
Yeah. Man. Yeah. And Michael Scott does it in The Office. But obviously, I'm talking about Titanic. I'm talking about Jack when he gets on the front of the boat with his best friend. And I mean, it's a fun line. It's a cheesy line. But you still gotta like it though. Some of my other ones, you're gonna need a bigger boat. It's just funny. I mean, it's a big shark coming at you, and you just, I'm gonna need a bigger boat.
Yeah, definitely.
So another one of my favorites comes from the most romantic film of all time. Guess.
I don't know, romantic film of all time and Affair to Remember?
Ooh, good guess. Good guess, but no. Casablanca.
Casablanca is very good.
And it's funny,
looking at you, kid.
Yeah, you know, there's three big ones.
They're going to get on that train. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow.
There's, you know,
Humphrey Bogart in that movie is... Mwah.
I think the more iconic line is the one that ends the film.
Yeah.
I added that on my list.
That's one of them. That's, so, because it's on yours, I won't do that. I'll do...
Play it again.
There is the one. Look, if you're just talking about,
there's like four lines in that movie. If you say play it again, Sam. You can say, here's looking at you, kid.
I love the here's looking at you, but I love the, of all the gin joints in all the world, had to walk in.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, because that just tells you exactly what he's going through, and I've been there.
Yeah.
Because I've owned gin joints. you know. So that's one of my favorite lines. Oh man, there is another. I just had no. Go ahead.
So like you said, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. That's a classic. Oh,
damn it! That was the one I was just about to say. Yes. So
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind.
Clark Gable.
Yes.
Oh no,
Clark
that's
Gable.
Right. That's what I was.
Gonna yes.
Say. Yep. Gone with
that
the Wind.
Is
Clark
exactly
Gable.
What I was gonna say.
That was
frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I mean, look, Scarlett done did her best. She done played with that man's heart 17 times.
Yo, not just that. Rhett Butler was a patient motherfucker, dude.
Rhett Butler, man, look.
Rhett Butler could have slapped the bitch, dude. He could have slapped the bitch for going off, dude.
No.
But I don't know.
Yeah,
I like that line, too.
I do love that line because, look, he done fed up, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
and
yeah,
what
he showed her. Yeah, that's at the very, very end. Oh, in the 40s.
That's a good one. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, no, Gone with the Wind is 1937, I believe.
Yeah, it's an oldie, man.
It's an epic, though, man. I've watched it before. I actually watched it.
I've seen it a few
in
times.
High school.
It's
as
about
a,
4 hours long.
Man.
I've seen it a few times.
Goodness gracious.
Because it deals with the war, you know, and it's not just a romantic movie. Everybody thinks that, but
right.
Hit it, Reese.
And then, boy, that one, that's up there. I got two. I got to put two from The Godfather, at least. So it was, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
I mean.
So good.
That's enough said, right? Like,
that's so good.
Like, yeah, man.
I don't know. Like, people still quote that to this day. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, actual movie, like, it has so many.
Ah, it does.
I mean,
have
I was
so
just
many,
like really
yeah.
looking them up, and I'm like,
leave the gun,
so
take the cannolis.
Love that line.
That's a great line.
And then of course, keep your friends closer and your enemies closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from The Godfather Part 2. So
yes, that was classic.
Yeah.
That's Michael.
Don. Michael Corleone said, Don.
Right.
Tell him shit how it is, dude.
Exactly,
come on.
Man.
That is a classic.
It's like, yeah, everybody. People are.
I actually have that one on my list, too.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
You can't handle the truth.
Yes.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
That whole Nicholson right. looks so pissed scene. Off in that scene, dude. It's so good.
That
isn't
whole
it?
Scene just gives me shivers, dude.
When he's going back and forth with him.
What did you say?
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Did you order the code red? You're damn right I did.
So good.
Man, that's, yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to go watch that again. Yeah, but, the last one was pretty tough, but I'm going to go with May the Force Be With You.
Ah, of course.
Classic.
That's a good one. May the Force Be With You.
I had to. It's, I feel like it's only right. But if I went out of, like, when you really look at the top 100, like, of what
I'm actually looking at them right now.
It's like the AFI. It's insane.
Yeah, so you're going to finish yours, and then we're gonna see how many of ours are in the top 15.
All right, well, I'll start my first one. Definitely my first one. I think the scene gets overlooked, too, as for what it does for the movie. But you talking to me?
Oh, yeah.
You talking to me? And Taxi Driver?
Come
on.
That's one of the more iconic.
Because not only that, dude, that's when he first, like, he built a contraption to fucking shoot a gun out of his sleeve, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he puts it on, he gets in front of the mirror. So it's the first transformation of a guy who is fed up, just a fed up cab driver, doesn't know what to do about how much he hates society and seeing the piss and shit and drugs and everything around him. To getting the gun, transforming into a fucking madman now. Yeah, I mean, this is him. And tell me if you ever, I don't know, like I don't have any guns. I'm not a gun owner. But I bet if you have one and own one, you probably have done that once in your life where you sat there thinking how cool I look with fucking holding a gun and, you know, how tough I feel and empowered I am right now.
I do it twice a day.
And De Niro encapsulates that in the entire segment of that movie in that little scene where you talking to me? Mm-hmm. You must be talking. I don't see anybody else around, so you must be talking to me. Oh, it's great, dude. It's great. And it's the transformation. Like I said, that scene is a pivotal scene in the movie where he goes from just a regular fed up cab driver to I'm going to do something about this. That's a classic. I have to think that's one of my favorites. I think in terms of iconic, you know, movie lines, like the ones you guys mentioned are all great, dude. You know, they're, but like favorite movies, I think, Usual Suspects, 95, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. It's just a classic.
Because it's also one of the greatest philosophies.
And it almost is like it's a tagline for the movie in the movie, basically. Yeah. Like if you could say, to sum up the movie in one thing, you'd be like, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Who is Kaiser Soze? You know? So good. I love that line. Kevin Spacey.
That's a good one.
Just great, putting great out. One. So I'm going through the AFI top list right now. Just saying. You might as well just put the entire Casablanca movie in here.
Yeah, play it again. Sam's probably on there, right?
Yeah. So, all right. So, one that I find odd that. All right. So, yeah, we have Houston. We have a problem. Number 50.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, number 50. I see dead people. Sixth Sense. We'll always have Paris, which is also Casablanca.
Yeah, we'll always have Paris. Right, I said that.
Yep. Mom always said life's like a box of chocolates.
Nah,
you never know what you're going to get.
Forrest Gump.
If you build it, they will come.
Field of Dreams.
Let's see. I'll be back.
Terminator.
You're going to need a bigger boat. We said that number 35.
Yeah, it's Charles.
I'll have what she's having.
Harry Met Sally.
Yep. Round up the usual suspects. Casablanca,
yep.
Let's see. From Gone with the Wind, after all, tomorrow's another day.
Oh, yeah. That's the very last line of the movie.
Yep. So You Can't Handle the Truth, number 29.
Mm-hmm.
Play It, Sam. Play As the Time Goes By, Casablanca 28.
Play it, Sam. I said play it again.
Show Me the Money.
Jerry Maguire,
number 25. That's a good one. I'm a little upset I didn't say that one. There's No Place Like Home.
I was going to say we're not Kansas anymore. Yeah, right. That was the other one I had on my list.
Bond.
Because people
James
still say
Bond.
That. Oh, yeah, Bond.
Yeah, Bond, James
Shake
Bond.
It, notch day.
Lewis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Casablanca. Number 20.
Well. Jesus, he's got like four of them.
Told you, man. Let's see. You got Rosebud at 17. A movie I just recently saw in the heat of the night. They Call Me Mr. Tibbs.
That's a great movie. Sidney Poitier, yeah.
That's a darn good movie.
They made a TV show out of it.
Number 15, E.T. Phone Home.
Yeah.
Didn't think of that one. Let's see. We got number 12. You mentioned this in the prep. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah, Robert Duvall.
Yep. Number 11. What we've got here is A Failure to Communicate.
That's Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. Look at you killing it right now.
I love the movie.
You Talking to Me, number 10.
Yeah, of course. Yep, Taxi Driver, baby.
May the Force Be With You, number 8.
There you go.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
That's Sunset crazy. Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard, number 7.
I'm good at this.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, make my day.
Oh, come on, Dirty Harry.
Number 6. Number 5, here's looking at you, kid. Casablanca.
Yeah, Casablanca.
Number 4, Toto. I'm feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's Dorothy.
Number 3. You understand, I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
On the waterfront.
Instead of bum, which is what I am.
Damn. That's Marlon Brando on the waterfront.
Marlon Brando on the waterfront. Number 3. Number 2. I'm going to make him an offer. I can't refuse.
There you go.
Number 1.
I'm going to make him an offer. I can't refuse.
Number 1. Frankly, my dear, I don't
know. There you go. Clark Gable. So there you go.
So we had a few of them.
Yeah, we did, definitely.
Favorites up there.
But yeah, I mean, they're the most
iconic. What makes a great movie quote to you?
I think it stands time. That's what I think it is. Like, you know, even if the, you know, obviously it has to come from a good movie, typically.
Yeah.
But I think when it stands time, like, you know, people say, like, if you, all right, so you go, you're traveling somewhere, you're driving, you stop on a highway rest stop and see someone doing something weird and say, damn, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah. I feel as though
you're quoting a movie, but you're quoting the situation because it relates to.
Right.
You know, that's why I love it. I think that's what makes it iconic.
I feel as though their movies, their quotes that in one line or in two lines, they can sum up the entire movie. Like they for some reason speak on that prime level for the movie that they can just sum up the entire quote.
Yeah.
The entire story. I feel as though that's a leaning towards it. Like, I feel as though it has to.
I don't know. I think it's like, well, first of all, a combination of great writing and then great acting, too.
Yeah,
but, definitely. I mean, it helps it.
Right. I mean, but on,
certainly does.
I think on top of that, I guess it's relatability.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for whatever reason, like, you can say, may the force be with you to somebody, but I can actually have, like, a personal tie to it. Like, you know what I mean?
Are
like,
you surprised that Live Long and Prosper was higher?
What number was it?
I didn't see it in the top 50, so that's all.
Dang.
Yeah. I feel like Star Wars had more box office power than Star Trek did. That's why.
For sure.
Star Trek had a huge fan base. I'm not denying that at all. You know what I mean? But sure. Trekkies are the TV show. They came from a TV show. Star Wars fans came from the blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's just like a different level of.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll take Star Trek in the Darkness, Star Trek, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I love the remakes with J.J. Abrams.
Oh, no,
I'll take those better than the recent Star Wars movies.
I didn't love, what was the last one called? Jesus, it's terrible. I didn't love that one as much.
The Last Jedi?
No,
the last Trek.
Star Trek.
Not Into Darkness. Jesus, what's it called? Beyond.
Star Trek Beyond, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't bad.
Wasn't bad.
But wasn't the best one.
The first two.
First two were good.
My name is Khan. Oh, I can't
Cumberbatch. Cumberbatch.
The guy, he died, though, didn't he? One of the characters, one of the actors?
Bruce Greenwood?
Yes, Anton Yelchin.
Chekhov.
Yeah.
Played Chekhov.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, so, well, we talked about our iconic movie lines, and if you have favorites.
I'm just going to go out there, and I'm going to put Wakanda Forever out there.
That's one of your favorites.
It's going down. And look, I mean, look.
If
you want to talk about Killmonger's his last line in the film.
I'd rather die.
Bury me in the ocean with my ancestors, because even they knew death was better than bondage. You know, oof.
Did you see a joke about that? Do you see the meme?
No.
I believe it says that if your ancestors jumped from ships, you wouldn't be here.
True.
That's pretty funny, though.
True.
All right, well, so let's move on to our next segment. We'll do quickly Cast Watch Blacklist. All right, so
let's do it.
We got some time. So it's our movie version of Fuck, Marry, Kill. If you haven't played this game, we're going to name three actors. Hey, you got to reference it sometimes. We're going to name three actors. You got to cast one, you get like to watch one, and then you got to blacklist one. Deal? Sounds good? All right, check it out. So this week, three actors are going to be Michael Keaton, Christopher Walken, Jodie Foster.
All right, so
this is the first time we're doing actors and actresses intermingled.
Right.
I will
in the same pool.
I will look. I mean, I'm. Maybe this is because I haven't seen Tim Burton's Batman, so I'm blacklisting Michael Keaton.
For damn, you're starting backwards. That's how much you hate that's Michael Keaton right,
no,
right
I don't,
now.
I don't.
You got something against him, man.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. Much like Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, how Justin hates him?
In every role, I see Michael Keaton shining through. For some reason, in his role in Spotlight, his mannerisms, his speech pattern, it's always the same person. And it's always shining through, and it's bothering me. You know, he was that way in Spotlight. He's that way in Birdman. He was that way in The Founder. He was that way in so many roles.
You won't think that in Jack Frost because he's a snowman.
I will punch you. <All right. laughs> So I am blacklasting. I'm sticking with it. I'm blacklasting.
Your words.
Michael Keaton. Sorry, I love Birdman, but you got to go. I am watching the great Jodie Foster. That's just all there is to it. And I'm going to work for Christopher Walken. I mean, why would you not work for Christopher Walken? I mean, he's...
You're talking to my friend all wrong.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's... Just to be able to draw on... I feel as though you could create a really interesting character with just his persona. Yes, Jodie Foster's done a plethora of things, but I think I could create something better with Christopher Walken than I could with Jodie Foster. So I watched Jodie Foster. She's tremendous. And I will cast Christopher Walken.
Okay, all right, not bad. Reese, you want to go next?
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to cast Christopher Walken. like you said, you kind of just have to.
Kind of just have to.
Like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. It's it just wouldn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably blacklist Jodie. It's kind of tough because I like her. So, I mean, you know, it's always tough to do this. But anyway, yeah. And then I would
watch. You got a smile on your face.
I'll watch Keaton. Hey, watch your mouth. But then I would, I would watch Keaton. That's my guy, man.
Yeah, man. Michael Keaton, come on.
I don't know what type of beef you got against him.
I understand that he plays eccentric characters, and he kind of does have a... Come on, Birdman, Beetlejuice, Mr. Mom. I'm going back, dude. Gung Ho, Dream Team. He had some good 80s flicks too, man.
You're just not impressed. With it.
I'm blacklasting him.
Blacklasting him again? I see what you did there. But
Die with the lie, baby. Go ahead.
All right. So if I'm starting, I think we're all casting Christopher Walken here. I mean, Glenn, how can you not, dude?
Just has to do it.
It's just, he's an iconic actor to me. To me, he's like, I mean, even Deer Hunter. Dead Zone. I don't know if you remember Dead Zone movie. That was a classic, dude. I remember watching that.
I even liked him in The Rundown.
Rundown, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Man. Even his older, Pool Hall Junkies was an underrated movie he was in. Joe Dirt. You remember him and Joe Dirt? Come on. Hilarious. All his little bit roles, dude, are great.
Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, exactly. Wedding Crashers.
He's great at what he does, man.
True Romance. He's a real small part in that. Oh, yeah. My God. All his little parts.
Keep Christopher Walken.
Remember the video he did with Fatboy Slim where he was dancing around the hotel? That's fucking great, too, man. Music video. You ever see this? No? Oh, my God. You got to look. It's called Weapon of Choice by Fatboy Slim. It's a music video where Christopher Walken's in it where he's just dancing through a hotel lobby. It's fucking great.
There's a better chance that I'm going to watch Christopher Robin than that music video.
Then wow. Two-minute and 30-second music video. This guy won't take time to watch for a Christopher Walken performance. That's genius.
Man, anyway, he said that.
Moving on.
You meant it.
I would watch...
Only a lot.
I would watch Michael Keaton, actually. Only because...
I want you to make out already.
Beetlejuice, dude. Beetlejuice. That's why. I love that movie growing up, dude. Michael Keaton was Batman, too. He was my Batman. I'm the younger generation. He was the first Batman to me. So,
I'm sorry.
I mean, Adam West.
I'm sorry. Wait. Did you
Adam
say
West,
you're
what?
The younger generation?
I'm just saying I was old enough to know that Batman. Yeah, these guys were six or something.
Yeah, pretty sure you were babysitting all of us.
But no, I mean, I remember the TV show Batman, Adam West, but first movie Batman was Michael Keaton, dude. He was badass and he was good as Bruce Wayne, dude. He gets underrated his performance as a Batman. He didn't have nipples on his costume either, you know?
Yeah, so, man, I don't know what
you got against nipples. They're natural.
So I'm watching Michael Keaton. Like I said, he had other movies too. Mr. Mom is a classic. And it's comedic timing too, man. Other guys, remember seeing him?
I was just about to mention.
He's good. Always had good comedic timing. Jodie Foster. I think Jodie Foster is a great actress. I really do.
Apparently not. You're blacklisted.
But if you're giving me these choices, if I blacklisted her, it's because the choices besides her were greater.
Look, man. I mean, look. You're the one that has to sleep tonight. You know,
yeah,
it is what
exactly.
It is.
Yeah. I will sleep knowing that I cast Jodie Foster off. Sorry. I still love you, Jodie, if you're listening.
Sexist.
Well, you heard our favorite iconic movie lines. You heard our cast watch blacklist the three actors. Follow us on Twitter. Comment. Do whatever you want on our Twitter, actually. We need activity on our Twitter. Tell us to fuck off on Twitter. I don't care. But it's @cinema_kings. So follow us. Yeah. And we're going to recommend a movie, guys.
So the one that I was trying to think of last podcast, which I couldn't remember, it's a movie starring one of my favorites, Mr. Matt Damon. Directed by one of my favorites, Paul Greengrass. And no, it's not a Bourne movie.
Oh, I know. That's Green Room?
Green Zone. About when they went into Afghanistan looking for WMDs. Absolutely fantastic movie with an amazing line at the end of the movie. Definitely go see it. It's not as action heavy as you would think, being that it is a wartime movie. But it does have some action ending at the end of the film, once a bit of a revolution breaks out, and good movie, very very good movie, great line at the end that makes you kind of think about foreign policy. So The Green Zone, check it out, starring Matt Damon.
Excellent.
All right, no doubt. Well, I'm going next, guys. I really just found something since I forgot we were even doing this. We actually didn't really know we were going to do it, but anyway, I'm gonna go with John Wick Chapter 2.
Oh yeah.
Now even though you didn't do a Bourne movie, I can still do a John Wick movie. So hey, but yeah.
Jason Bourne would kick John Wick's ass.
Stop. We already did this. We already did this. If you listen to the last podcast,
and he made it.
He made it to the end.
Jason Bourne made it to the end, and then you idiot decided to put Mrs. Smith.
Don't put that one on me.
Morons in the other room.
All right.
It was a long time ago, people.
It's Mrs.
Clearly,
Smith.
I still haven't gone over it.
That's all a right. classic. That's a good one.
Oh man, Mrs. John Smith.
No, John Wick Chapter 2.
John Wick 2 has some pretty interesting fights.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was a fun movie. Those are fun action movies, dude. I like action.
What's
like
going on with your hair right now?
I'm sweating bullets because we're in a sauna right now doing a podcast.
Like that time you were with Joaquin Phoenix? With Waffo?
In the sauna. Remember, I gave him the pointers on how to play his character in Revolutionary Road. We talked about this earlier.
We talked about that.
This fabricated story.
Yeah.
All right, my suggestion. We're talking De Niro. We're talking mob movies the other night, so I'm going to go with the movie I actually just watched the other day, American Gangster.
Oh, yeah. Great. Great pick.
I think it's the best.
I'm sorry. What does that do with De Niro?
Best gangster movie in the last 20 years. Probably. I think it is. I really do. Think about Frank Lucas, Russell Crowe, Denzel Washington. Come on. Ridley Scott.
Wait. Name some of the gangster movies in the last
Gangster Squad.
The Departed.
No, Departed's 2000.
Oh, about to say.
Departed's 2007, so yeah.
The Town?
Yeah, better than The Town, for sure, dude. Come on. The Town is overrated.
Oh, we will fight.
Yes,
Next podcast, in defense of Corey's defending The Town.
No, I do like The Town, but it's overrated. Oh, my God, yes. But yeah, American Gangster, dude, Ridley Scott. If you haven't seen his movie, it's 2.5 hours long, but it's worth a watch. I'm telling you, it's so good. The story of
it don't feel like it's dead long though. Like,
come on, man. There's so many good scenes in that.
They should mix the Goonies and a gangster movie. I would love to see some kids running the block.
Just watch The Wire season 4. The Stoop kids pretty much run the streets. So, all right, yeah. Well, that's our podcast. Like I said, make sure you follow us on Twitter @cinema_kings. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you didn't like. Chime in, let us know what you thought about Corey saying Ben Affleck being Terminator a few weeks back.
Wow.
Oh, man. I didn't forget about that. You're taking shots at us earlier. I had to take a shot.
Yes. It happened.
That's for me and Reese. Coming back at you.
There you go.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace. We out.
I was at a wine tasting with my cousin Ernesto, which was mainly reds, and you know I don't love reds, man, you know, but there was a rosé that saved the day. It was delightful. And he tells me about this girl, Emily, that we used to kick it with. It was actually the first pair of boobs that I ever touched.
It's the wrong details. It's the wrong, it has nothing to do with the story.